8.07 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Thursday style. Glad to have you here, Sean and Dalton. Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. You're a big part of the show at 343-0106. Turning up your voice. Love to hear from you. A couple stories up this morning. Actually, before we get into it, I want to talk a little bit about situation with Iran shooting down the drone. Mm-hmm. Also, today's upcoming announcement, another name in the mix for Senate 2020 with Roy Moore. But first, you mentioned this. So we mentioned a couple weeks ago. And by the way, what was the... it was the 1997, was it 25th anniversary or something of the slow speed chase for O.J. Just last week, I think. And but you mentioned O.J. Simpson is on Twitter.
Right. O.J. Simpson, I think earlier this week, maybe over the weekend, joined Twitter. And well, the comments to O.J. have not been kind, to say the least.
What?
Not that we expect them to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nor should they be.
If you are O.J. Simpson and you get on Twitter's a mean place for people who have no reason to have people being mean, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you could have somebody who is you could have Florence Nightingale reincarnated, right? You could have Mother Teresa reincarnated. Mother Teresa comes back and gets on Twitter. And there'd be somebody like, it's a stupid-looking blue and white, are you a Kentucky fan or something? It's just this. Twitter is like the meat. Out of all the social media, I would say, and I got a Facebook comment. First of all, Facebook is getting to be, Facebook is like the Villages mm-hmm. down in Florida. Is what Facebook is getting to. It's like nothing but grandkid pictures.
Yeah, right? and Facebook Lives from Criminals on the Run.
Yes, Criminals on the Run, and we'll get that audio too. We'll have some time here. Criminals on the Run and grandkid pictures. Mm-hmm. Twitter is like the worst neighborhood in your town.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't want to walk down that block on the way home from school.
A bunch of toughs out there. Everybody's tough and angry about everything. I don't know. Instagram is, I don't know what it represents.
Instagram's like the nightclub.
Okay, you're right.
You're young.
Very superficial.
You're going out.
Who's pretty?
Exactly.
Good point. And I'm other than monitoring and checking that it's not on phones or not being used in different ways. All I know is Snapchat. I'm checking in on Snapchat because I have a teenager, mm-hmm. but I don't know what to do.
Since we're continuing with the analogy, Snapchat is like the lunchroom at school.
Okay.
That's what I would say. You got all the kids, you know, passing rumors and stuff like that. And then Pinterest, I would say, would be the women's restroom where they all pass along ideas. I don't know what goes on.
Do you know what goes on in the women's restroom?
No, I'm not sure what they talk about in there, but I assume they're talking about crafts and things like that.
Really? Do you think? Wait a second. So, on record here, today is the 20th of June at 8:10. Dalton, you're pretty sure that in the women's restroom,
passing along crafting and
recipes
and crafts. Yes.
So, ladies will go into the ladies' room with one of the old little plastic boxes that the 3x5 recipe cards come in, and they're in there trading them like Pokemon cards or something like that.
Is that not what happens?
I don't know. I've not been in there.
I kind of.
But
thought.
You seem to. And craft ideas, they go in there with the hot glue gun and the glitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
what
I think
more like the club.
So that's a lot like Pinterest, if you think about it.
The Pinterest thing, okay, so that's the different neighborhoods. So, my one Facebook commentary is, look at all the candidates out there talking bad about Facebook, mm-hmm. on the Democrats and Republicans, too, and something needs to be done about Facebook and all this. They're all spending money advertising on Facebook. I just want to just point that out. Just side note. As they tell you how bad it is, realize that in this election season, they will put their faces and their messages on Facebook.
More than ever. More yes. money than ever will be spent with Facebook this election season. That's a fact.
But they're going to tell you how bad it is. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So there's that part. The OJ part of it. When OJ gets on Twitter, yeah, you've talked about, you were reading me some of the reply tweets to OJ stuff. Why, if you're OJ Simpson, unless you are a masochist, why do you get on Twitter?
It doesn't make sense. And I wonder how long he's going to last on Twitter. He's already blocking a lot of people that come after him on Twitter, but that would be everybody.
Why do you get on there and then block everybody? Because everybody's going to have something snarky to say.
I don't know why he's on Twitter. I guess he's got to let let his OJ feelings fly. Like his tweet yesterday, he said someone yesterday, and I don't even know if we should be promoting OJ's
his
Twitter
OJ,
account.
His OJ feelings fly.
But he's passing along little tidbits about his life. And he said, someone yesterday asked me what the best advice I ever got was. He said, my mother said to me before she passed, Orenthal, you can't let people and mean speech set you further away from God.
Then why are you on Twitter?
He said, that was the best advice I ever got. And by the way, she was the only one who called me Orenthal. The very first comment under that is a man named Jimmy who says, okay. Hey, OJ, can you help me choose a glove for my upcoming travel baseball season? Thanks in advance. And he puts a selection of four gloves up there, three of those being a baseball glove and one being the black evidence glove from the trial. And good. Somebody else, you're killing this Twitter thing, OJ. Keep it up.
So OJ's on Twitter. If you want to watch watch Rome burn or Orenthal burn, you can check it out. All right. Then I want to talk a bit about Iran here before we go any further. And this is people talking about the ramping up and the saber rattling. I would argue that this has been happening obviously since the Iranians have been the Iranians are going to act out against the Saudis. Okay, now they're acting out against us, but they were acting out at first against the Saudis. Saudis are our ally, as much as it makes me ill to say, but in a realpolitik reason, I understand why we do it. I'm just not crazy about it. So the Saudis are our allies. They strike at the Saudis to try to make, and I'll say this too. People have been painting this picture that this shows that they have no respect for the United States. I would argue this actually shows President Trump's, what he's doing and crackdown on the Iranians is working. These acts from the Iranians are like kids slamming doors when they get punished, which, by the way, in my house, that gets you extra days of grounding. I don't know about y'all, but you slam the door after you get grounded, mm-hmm. you get extra days added on your sentence.
And the door might not be there afterwards.
Have I ever told that story? That I take the screw gun, I take door. If you slam doors, you lose doors in my house. I'm like the most unfun dad ever. I know. But the reaction of the Iranians says this is getting to them, mm-hmm. right? This is getting to them. The problem is, though, they were acting out against the Saudis. Then you have the story yesterday. It was reported for a while yesterday afternoon. Have not heard a lot more about it. A rocket goes in and hits an oil installation in Basra in mm-hmm. Iraq. Okay. Remember, the Iranians and the Iraqis also fought wars against each other. I mean, in modern times here, well, Iraq's only, they've only been around since modern times as a nation. But you had the Iran-Iraq war. It doesn't take much to get them back into it. Obviously, Iraq being connected to the United States, Saudi being connected to the United States, Iran acts out against both of them.
And that compound that they hit in Iraq, that's used by ExxonMobil. They said it's the fourth time in 1 week that the projectiles have been fired at facilities where American personnel are stationed in the country. So like you said, they're acting out and they're edging closer and closer to that line that the president and the administration set earlier this week.
So the Iranians were already acting out. Then we moved the battleship group there. Right, so that's there. Now we have more chances for something to happen between not just a proxy war, like, you know, at some point you might have Houthi rebels attacking Saudis and you have proxy battle going on here. Now we have Iranian assets with this drone strike hitting an American drone. More on this, Jackie Speer from Westwood One.
You don't sign an agreement and then revoke it for no reason when everyone from the Secretary of State on down had said that Iran was complying with the JCPOA. So I firmly put responsibility on this administration and the president.
Okay. Now, so that's Congresswoman Jackie Speer, who's now saying it's President Trump's fault what the Iranians are doing. I would argue that that is being ramped up there. What is the option? I don't know. How do we get out of this? I would argue that there's not a large number of Americans that I would say as a percentage, it would be small single digits that would be excited or even tolerant of an idea of a ground war against Iran. I don't see it. Maybe mm-hmm. there'll be the odd person out there that does, but I think the majority of people would say no way. So what do you do? So now, knowing that you're somewhat handcuffed in this situation, the Iranians probably know that we probably won't go. And I don't want the president or the military to telegraph what we would do. I think you got to keep that obviously secret. But what limit will we go that'll be tolerated by the American people, but will be a deterrent to Iran. Iran is, I mean, they're ramping this up, and we're going to meet them at each level. So I guess we're ramping it up too. And this is not this is not Ethiopia. This is not some warlords in a, you know, in a small country. These are the Persians, y'all. This is Iran. And while their military one-on-one is nothing against ours, I mean, they can fly their jets and we can fly our jets and we'll win. Mm-hmm. But they aren't some tin horn dictator. They're dictators, but they're not tin horn. And so as things ramp up there, it really is worrisome to me. And hopefully we can do something to, you know, I don't know what it is. I think maybe the president in a negotiation can figure out what he can take as a win, they can take as a win, and maybe we go back to status quo. I don't know. I don't know where this goes.
And, you know, we started the segment off talking about Twitter, and checking Twitter yesterday, I saw at least one message. One woman posted a photo of her son, who she said had two, he served in Afghanistan twice, served 8 years in the Army, and actually passed away in 2016 after failing to get help from a VA facility. And she said, how could we enter into another war when we're having trouble taking care of the soldiers that we just got back from the Middle East from these most recent wars? And that's kind of a common refrain I've seen on social media from a lot of Americans saying, how can we get into another ground war in the Middle East when we're having trouble taking care of our own right now?
But the problem is, though, you should make the decision whether you get into a ground war or not, or any kind of war, based on what the international politics of it, what protecting our country, those kind of things. You can't, as deferential as I am to our veterans, you can't make the decision, and nor should you make the decision. If you had a fully robust military that had not been deployed at over time and time again, like ours have, you know, friends of mine that saw multiple deployments, we hadn't been deployed in 30 years, and it was a fully robust military, you shouldn't make the decision to get in a war based on how intact and healthy your military is. Nor should you make the decision not to engage an enemy because you have the wearing of what now is, 20 years of war against terror. I mean, you can't make the decision based on, the emotion. You have to make the decision based on what's right for the nation. At the same time, presidents have to get elected,
right?
And this country is I'll tell you, war weary.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is it puts the president in another tough spot. I mean, presidents are always put in tough spots.
Election year coming,
but with the election year coming, and Trump running in 2016 on pulling troops out of the Middle East, and with it seems the common sentiment with Americans not wanting to enter into another war, would President Trump? What would it take to push him over the edge to say send him on in?
All right, we'll talk about that with you when we get back at 343-0106. Plus, Roy Moore to announce today. Talk about Senate 2020. And you said, what are they doing in the bathroom? They're trading recipes
and craft ideas.
Craft ideas. That's what goes on in the ladies' room?
That's what I heard.
Okay. All right. 820. Be right back. Text line at 343-0106, same as our phone number. So you put that in for contact for FM Talk 106.5. You can text us on that number. You can call us on that number. Supermom says, this is truth. Facebook is for begging, Twitter is for complaining, and Instagram is for bragging. Pretty
well
wise,
said.
Pretty wise words there. Also, talking about today, 2 o'clock this afternoon, Montgomery. Special event. Roy Moore making an announcement. Come on. I mean, you don't hold... I would love it to have a politician do this sometime, have a big event, get all the media there, get up there, say, I'm not running, bye.
Well,
but they don't do that. So when they call the event like this, so he's in.
I don't know. I don't know why you think Roy Moore is still so predictable at this point. He could still get up there later this afternoon and say, thinking about it, everyone expects me to say that I'm running for Senate in 2020, but
that's right,
I trust the president. The president says I shouldn't run, so I'm bowing out before I even get in.
So, okay, so your estimation here, that Roy Moore is going to hold a press conference to say, I listened to Donald Trump Jr., mm-hmm. and the president telling me not to run, and I'm not running.
He loves the cameras. I think even if he wasn't entering the Senate race, that he might just get up there to say that he's not entering. I think there's still a chance that he doesn't get in. I think the odds are he does get in, but I think there's a chance he says he's not running.
Well, there's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance monkeys might fly. There's chances of all kind of things, but he's in.
Mm-hmm.
He's in. So he, with him in, and we'll see. We'll put some wager something on it here. Because I like taking candy from
babies.
I will
say the odds are in your favor.
Yeah, that's why I'm taking the bet. so he, if he's in, and of course John Merrill did the, I'm forced to get in the race because people are giving me money. Now I understand actually he does have a legitimate, like if you get a certain amount of money you have to file with the Federal Election Commission. I get it, but he's added a little bit of, and I like talking to John. He's a great Secretary of State. But he's doing a little like, oh, they're pushing me. They're pushing me. I don't want to run. Because he knows maybe people out there, I'm one of those, the person who I want to run for office is the person who doesn't want to run for office. Mm-hmm. That's the people I'm really interested in. But there's like none of them. But he's trying to say, no, don't make me run for Senate. But he'll be in. And now we're starting to get a pretty packed field. And it's going to be interesting to see if we're going to just get the who is Trumpier than the next, Kenneth Moss Trumpy effect, like we talked about during the Senate special, or if we will get some actual differences between Republicans out there. And still, Doug Jones may see some opposition from John Rogers. We don't know for sure. I mean, that's an outside chance. There's a chance it might happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a good chance, but a chance it might happen for a Democrat primary challenge. But on the Republican side, maybe, just maybe, we can get them talking about how they would be different in the Senate, why they would be better. You know, they can say they agree with the president, they're going to help the president, and here's how I'm going to help the president. Not just saying, I'm going to help the president. How about we would hear, this is how I'm going to do it a little differently than these other people here.
We need to hear how they're going to help Alabama by being in the federal government. I think that's what Alabamians want to hear, is how they're going to bring it back to the state. But with Roy Moore's announcement later this afternoon, I think what
I thought you said he wasn't going to announce.
Well, he will announce something.
Okay, that's right.
There's going to be so much national media there this afternoon, I would imagine. You said look at the plane tickets that will be bought out of L.A., New York, and Washington, D.C. I bet he's going to get more national attention easily than any other current candidate that's running for Senate, and that will, we saw with President Trump, all the attention he got compared to the rest of the primary challengers in 2016, that good or bad, attention helps you in races like this. And like you said, the national media might be pushing Roy Moore to win that primary election so that they can trash him once he tries to run against Doug Jones again.
They are going to be coming, they being national media and also strategists for the Democrats, with the announcement today that I think will be the announcement that Roy Moore is getting in. There will be, like you said, plane tickets booked. Here they come. There's going to be more stories done. If Roy Moore thinks that he's going to run again, and the old people from the Senate special aren't going to come back and write the follow-up stories, I can't believe he'd be that naive. So they're going to come in and write the follow-up stories. And absolutely, the story about Alabama, now it was the abortion ban, and it's been for a day and a half the meth addicted attack squirrel, which we played the audio for you. The owner says he's never given the squirrel meth. The owner who's on the run from Limestone County Sheriff's Office. That's been the story. But the new story will be Alabamians to line up to vote for Roy Moore again, and they'll go back through all the stuff. That's what will happen. That is what will happen.
And it's going to turn to, look how stupid Alabama is, just like it was a year and a half ago.
Absolutely. By the way, we asked this question in the online opinion poll brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Would you vote for Roy Moore in the Republican primary for Senate 2020? 89% of y'all say no. Now, 11% say yes, they'd vote for Roy Moore, but 89% say no. Remember, you got a situation where the president and, like you said, president and Donald Trump Jr. have both taken Roy Moore to task on Twitter and said, do not run, don't get into this, quit, don't mess this up. But I bet you today at 2 o'clock he's going to say he's in. We'll talk about that some and a whole bunch more subjects with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. He joins us in just about 5 minutes. Talk with him. Also check in with Dr. Bill for the forecast. And a news update is coming your way next. FM Talk 106.5. Hope your morning's on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane, and our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap joins us now. Hey, man.
Hey, how are y'all doing this morning?
I'm good. Kind of working through a couple things I'd like to get just a reaction from you on. Well, first thing is why OJ would go to Twitter. Okay, that's the first thing. Does he think that's going to work for him?
I think OJ, he's got some things he wants to get even with, from what I understand. There's some people he's ready to get even with.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
When you've killed a couple of people, you're ready to get even. I'm just saying, possibly.
He's looking for the real killer on Twitter.
That's true. He's got to get even with the real killer.
Well, there's people worried that they've been blocked by OJ, but then I see
other
people.
I'd wear that as a badge of pride.
Well, it's better to be blocked by OJ than followed by OJ, is what I'm
sort of just fat. Right, it is better. Definitely true. I don't want to be followed by, if it says being followed by OJ, you know, at that point, get offline. I don't really understand that people spending their day writing to OJ. I guess I just have other things to do, but... I guess that's what fires them up.
All right. So there's the first reaction. Second one, announcement coming up at 2 o'clock today. And I think they probably already booked their flights before the announcement. But if they haven't, after 2 o'clock today, half of the D.C. press corps will be traveling to Alabama after Roy Moore announces another bite at the apple for Senate 2020.
Yeah, it's going to be, of course, another statewide embarrassment for us. But I mean, I think people need to think about this again, and we forget, is that, okay, yes, people voted for Roy Moore, but Roy Moore was voted for over Luther Strange, who, in my humble opinion, committed bribery with the governor. There were a lot of people who just said, I'm not going to vote for Luther Strange because right. of what he did. And I think that's why Roy Moore won the primary, and then you get into the situation of, well, you're going to get a lot of folks who just are going to vote party line. I don't think that's the situation at this point. I think, regardless of their various flaws they may have, there are certainly at least three quality candidates for the U.S. Senate at this point, at least three. So I don't expect the same thing.
All right. I expect mayhem, which we're going
to get. I expect mayhem, and expect for us to be made fun of. I expect the National Press Corps to act like Alabamians are just dying to vote for Roy Moore again, but I don't believe that's going to be the case.
And we'll see what he does at 2. I think he's going to say he's in, and then, of course, John Merrill next week. And maybe still some people think that's it. I think maybe one more name in, but we'll see how that shakes out. All right. All right, bring it back, Brack, to our neck of the woods down here in southwest Alabama. And a subject that I've spent a lot of time talking about. I've been frustrated about this for decades. Even before my move to this radio station, I have been complaining about this and saying, when are we going to do something about this? And that is sewage and sewage overflow issues. And that dominates part of the Baldwin County edition.
Yes, it does. It's got sewage on the cover. Sean, does that make you happy?
Well, I'm gonna take it. When the second that the new Lanyap came out, somebody on Twitter sent me a picture and said, "There you go, Sean." Because y'all are new to this,
flowing sewage, Sean.
If y'all are new to this, that I have had a complaint over time that the Baldwin County edition of Lanyap seems to be usually a watercolor artist rendering of something festive or something that's pastoral, and Mobile seems to be torn from a gritty graphic novel. But in this case, Mobile's got a chalkboard and some kids, and Baldwin County's got sewage.
Yeah. So anyway, but the story is, and it's, I think so far a pretty good story, is that, as you know, it's been a really bad problem over there, millions of gallons a year of sewage overflows. And so far this year, that has been drastically reduced. And that's the basic story, is they've really worked hard to get those overflows taken care of.
Now, this is, I guess it's a process of, first of all, getting someone to admit they are having a problem, right? I mean, you got to get you have to have a, I don't know if you have to have, what do they call those, interventions?
You have to show them the sewage, and they're like, this is your sewage, yes.
And then what are you going to do about it? And so in this case, you're saying they are doing something about it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the utilities are getting together on this and working on it, and thus far the amount of releases, as they say, have been minimal compared to the previous years. I mean, you know, I mean, far, far down. Of course, that, you know, all those things, I mean, it all is weather dependent. There's a number of issues that could happen. I mean, you could have, you know, a million gallon overflow tomorrow, and that may change the whole story. But right now, so far, halfway through the year, they're doing a pretty good job of it.
You know, it comes back to, and it's a bigger discussion, we've had it before on the show, but both sides of the bay, all over our area, when you talk to these utilities, they say, well, we just don't have the money. You know, things in Mobile's case, it's the fact that you have the growth, but you have a, you know, possibly close to 300-year-old infrastructure underground at Baldwin County, not that old, but they have exponential growth going on there,
right.
And they say, well, you know, there's not the money, there's not the revenue. And you know, people say, I don't want to pay more for a water bill, but look at this. I mean, this is what it leads to.
Well, yeah, people don't think about the fact that they're standing in millions of gallons of sewage. You know, that's the thing, is that it's millions and millions of gallons of sewage released, and people don't think about that. You know, it's just, oh, well, you know, I didn't see it, you know. But there's, you know, all these warnings, can't swim in the bay this week because there's E. coli, there's things, those are sewage releases. And, you know, it is pollution. You know, it's the same as, it's worse, or as the same as just seeing garbage on the side of the road, but that's visible and we can see it. The sewage releases are not as easy to see.
No, but I mean, when we have beach closures and all those kind of things, that tends, and that gets people's attention for a day or two, and then it goes away, you know. And
that's one of the very unsexy things that they've done with some of the BP money. You know, it's
which I love.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, not sexy at all. You know, let's work on sewage. What boring, you know? But that's been a lot of it. You know, the attempts to stop some of this using some of that restore money, some of the BP money.
And I said that back when it was, you know, being debated and discussed, exactly what you said. It's not sexy. It's not exciting. You don't have big ribbon cuttings. You don't have the chrome-plated shovels and all the pictures.
Yeah, right.
But it's what really needs to, it's one of the big environmental things that should have been addressed with that money.
Yeah, and it is one of the things that they have used it for. That, you know, it's one of those things that people, probably like you and me, look at and say, you know, that BP money should be used for things that are environmental in nature, and that's one of those things I can agree with and look at it and say, yeah, okay, that's great. Some of these other things I'm kind of like, how is that environmental? But this, you know, this is one.
Yeah, and it's not as, I mean, it is not as fun as, you know, a big park, or, and I love the shoreline restoration stuff. Heck, I've volunteered and done those. I like those things. But if you want to try to figure out where the money can be applied to make the biggest change most quickly, it's got to be to keep the sewage out of our water.
Well, water quality is huge. You know, it is huge, and it's not something we can all see. We don't all run out there with a microscope and start looking at the water. But it's a big deal. And if you could say at the end of the year that you went from 3 million gallons of spilled sewage last year to, you know, like 100,000 or 200,000 gallons, that's a massive improvement, and that means there's a whole lot less sewage in the water and a lot less pollution out there.
I thought about you last week. I was, people saw the Twitter feed. I was pretty up in arms about that Tyson processing facility up along the Black Warrior River. Had a had an overflow, and I think the first count was 175,000 fish killed. But I mean, I pointed out that doesn't include all the crawfish and snails and all the other and water plants and all the things that go in that environment. And it got me thinking back to what we talked about a few weeks ago with the coal ash ponds along the Mobile River. I just wonder if people look what happened up on the Black Warrior, and that may be a, you know, a small example of what could happen if you have these big spills. You know, that's different stuff that's coming from the chicken facility.
I mean, it's a situation we deal with around here, and you know, I mean we're into, when you talk to our public officials about the coal ash being buried, 21 million tons of coal, you know, being buried in the swamp, and the attitude is, well, they brought us up here and they showed us and it looks good, so we're good with it. And like, how do, I don't understand that kind of thought process to a degree. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But, you know, when you have things like this, I'm sure that they could, Tyson Chicken can bring people out there and show them, oh, well, look, it's safe. And then all of a sudden you have a spill and it's not that safe.
Well said.
You know, we have to be aware of those things.
All right, let's do this. Can you hang on through the break? Because I've got a couple questions here. The latest on Spencer Collier, talking about the news from last week. We'll talk about that. Also, 60s term. We'll find out what 60s term we're talking about with Rob Holbert from Landnap when we come back. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Our conversation with Rob Holbert from Landnap. New Landnap out on the streets now. How do we find it?
You can go to any one of our 1,500 locations, Mobile and Baldwin County. Check out, look for our beautiful regal purple boxes. There's still some of those hideous pink boxes out there, Sean, but they're becoming a rarity. You can also go online at landnapmobile.com. Get signed up to subscribe online and read all the stories, and 21 cents a day, it's a bargain.
All right. And also, reminder there, if you find one of those pink boxes, if you save me one, would that be a collector's item? Would it be close to antique?
They are getting close to antique at this point, yes. They're 17 years in the business now.
Wow. So those are, that's it. I think at 25 years or something, you get an antique tag for a car. So
they should be. Yeah, that should get an antique tag for the hideous pink box.
All right. I want to talk about, first of all, a name that, I mean, whether District 105, head of ALEA, Selma police chief, a man very, very linked with everything that went on with former Governor Bentley's downfall, and now a story last week about Spencer Collier and filing a false police report. What's the story here?
Well, it's kind of a convoluted thing, but, Spencer Collier has a knack for getting in trouble, but he was arrested last week for filing a false report, basically claiming that there was a credit card being misused. I guess he and his wife had some sort of domestic issue and involving a child as well. And basically, she claimed he threatened physical violence against her. Went to a hotel, and I guess he claimed that they were misusing, that the credit card was being improperly used at the hotel, but that was a false report, so he ended up getting arrested. It's a pretty wild tale for a guy that 2 days earlier had been talking about running for Congress.
Yeah, yeah. So, he might have been he at least in that story had toyed with the idea of possibly being in for AL1.
That love letter that was written in AL.com to him did have some stuff about him running for Congress in it. So it's a strange program. You know, I've personally always wondered how he was portrayed as a hero out of this stuff with Bentley, when he in fact went in the middle of the night looking for, trying to shake down government employee for a tape that the governor's wife had made as the head of the law enforcement agencies in the state. You would think you would know better than that.
Didn't he just win a civil suit though?
They settled it in some capacity. I don't know whether, I guess you would consider that a win. I don't know if that's a win or not, but it's done. Yes, he just settled it. He was at Selma as the police chief, but he had an accident there, and he's basically retired from that as well. So there's just, I guess, more stuff going on, but it's just the ongoing saga.
All right. And then a saga that's been going on, well, at least this week, is the discussion of a Facebook post from Mobile County Treasurer Phil Benson. And the headline here in Jason's story, Jason Johnson's story at landatmobile.com, is a 60s term. What is a 60s yeah. term?
Well, that's, you know, as you've probably, everybody's reported, you know, Phil Benson went on, and there was a discussion on a Republican site about a lawsuit that came out of Colorado regarding a birthday cake, you know, a baker refusing to cook a birthday cake, or I mean a wedding cake, I'm sorry.
I think it was a gender reassignment. Yes,
I think it was a wedding cake, I think, but I'm not positive. Okay. But anyway, it got into the argument of whether the government should, you know, get involved in that or not. But Phil brought to the table a point where he called them freaking queers, and so the freaking queers have gotten too much sympathy online, and a real abomination, and that of course has brought a lot of fire down on him. He's stuck to his guns. He claims that he stands by his statement. He told us he stood by his statement. He got back on the air with Andrea Ramey and made her read the Bible, and says the Bible is tells him that this is what he should say, and he's offended by that. So,
well, I tell you, as Facebook comments go, I mean, that's pretty tame, man. You know, I mean, you look at a daily basis.
Sure, it is. But he's an elected official.
Well, that's where I'm transitioning into, because I want to.
You know, that's it. I mean, you know, it's not. I mean, if he's just Joe Blow, if he wants to go out there and write stupid things online or whatever it is, that's his thing. I mean, he claims that it's a 60s term that he grew up with, and so I guess he just hasn't evolved in the last 50 something years. He's going back to the terminology he used back then. But you know, when you're elected, I'm sure there's a lot of people who feel like, hey, you're elected to represent everybody, and whether you disagree with certain things, as an elected official, should you be engaging in putting pejorative terminology out?
But my real question was why we have a county treasurer, but that's...
Well, and that's, yeah, you know, I mean, I can agree with that. There's been discussion about not having that as an elected official. I can't really for the life of me figure out why it needs to be an elected official. They've actually stripped out a lot of his authority in the last, recently anyway, to make certain moves. So I don't really know exactly what it is, just another elected official. I guess just another opportunity for us to have somebody say something stupid online and make national news.
There we go. All right, Rob, when can we look forward to the nappy edition of Land Yap? When's that coming?
The 24th of July, Sean. We're going to have to wait
out. A month from now.
It's worse than Christmas.
Yes, it is.
Anticipation. It is. It's like being a child waiting for Christmas. You know, you're already starting to worry about it in July when you're a kid. This is that same feeling.
All right. That's good. We'll be on the edge of our seats here for the next month or so, and check back with you, if not sooner. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Rob Holbert checking in from Land Yap, and we are on the way out. We will be talking more about the upcoming presser from Roy Moore today. Know that Gamecock Girl on the text line says that man, Roy Moore, needs to understand that the reason most people will not vote for him is not because of the stories from the past, but because he is so self-serving, ego running wild.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Well, I've seen several texts, and we got some calls, and people saying that exact thing. They said, I'm not even, you know, I don't believe this story or that story, but he can't win. He has had enough chances to run for office in this state. And I'm paraphrasing people. You know, why again?
And that poll question that's up right now, our 1-800-GOT-JUNK poll question on FMTalk1065.com, pretty slanted results right now. Would you vote for Roy Moore in the Republican primary for 2020 Senate election? Right now, no, getting 90% of the vote. So 9 out of every 10 voters right now saying that they would not vote for Roy Moore in this upcoming primary.
Of course, our polling, we don't pretend it's anything but for entertainment purposes only. Mm-hmm. It's unscientific. Sample size is whatever it is week to week. Mm-hmm. It's not, okay, so we're not, but this is our, but tell you what though, our polls have been pretty darn accurate.
Yeah.
They've lined up with what's happened over time. So you can vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com. And we'll be tallying those votes and talking about them when we come back at noon today with Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show is on the way next.